This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ooh, I know this one.
Sing it here.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye-bye. That's all I know. I know the words.
But I know, Justin, the important part, yeah.
Justin Timberlake, right?
Yeah. No. You know who knows the words?
Elliot?
Our next guest, Elliot Shure Parks.
I know he probably dances. He probably on the other side dancing.
He's at the combine dancing. He's sponsored by Cozy Jewelers. I'm up to the fifth C. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and Cozy. Elliot from Indy. What's up, Elliot?
Elliot,
come on. Do I know the words to that song?
Come on,
I know the dance. I know the dance to that song.
Because you watched like you did on Deadpool.
Bye, bye, bye. Exactly right. It's a classic right there.
I think at some point that the audience of WIP needs to see that.
Yeah, you need to tweet that from Indy.
Gladly.
All right, Elliot. Yeah. Lot to talk about here with the Eagles yesterday, today. All right, Elliot, let's start with yesterday. I know you were there. You were there at all the different press conferences asking Howie questions and kind of getting the feel of the other GMs, coaches around the NFL. Elliot, day one, what ended up your biggest takeaway on, it could be a big picture thing, small picture, but your biggest takeaway from day one of the press of the combine?
Man, it's hard because there was so much stuff that I think is interesting and important from what they said yesterday. But I guess my biggest one would be just the stressing of continuity by Nick Sirianni when talking about Kevin Pitullo. I know we've talked about the hiring of Kevin Pitullo, and I do think there are positives to it. And I think continuity to a certain degree is one of them. But I just don't subscribe to the same line of thought they do when it comes to this continuity. Like, I understand that he was on the staff last year, but you've lost the offensive coordinator. You've lost the quarterback coach. So this idea that they're, like, running it back from a continuity perspective, I just don't think that's true. Like, there are going to be changes, and the people around Jalen are going to be different. So I almost feel like they're holding on to continuity just for the sake of trying, but I don't know if it was honestly what this team needs next year. I think when you talk about how teams rebound from success, or I guess I should say have continued success next year, it's what A.J. Brown has said in the interviews he's done this offseason, which is they're going to need changes. They're going to need to not just do the same thing they did last year. And so hearing Nick stress continuity so much, I know they probably will make changes, but I would have preferred to hear, you know, Kevin Pitullo has a lot of ideas he hasn't implemented or something along those lines, because I just don't think continuity is what will make them good next year.
All right, Elliot, one way to upset continuity and to change it in a big way would be to trade for Myles Garrett. Elliot, I'm very curious where you come down on this. If you were Howie, would you be all in for Myles Garrett? And let me frame it this way. If it costs two first-round picks, would you make the deal to go get Myles Garrett at the age of 29?
I would not trade two first-round picks for Myles Garrett. Now, if it's a first and a third, and, you know, the contract is somewhat reasonable, obviously he's going to make a lot of money. Yeah, I think you go and you add maybe the best edge rusher in the NFL, arguably the best defensive player in the NFL. And I do think, while I can sit here and it's easy for me to say no, if I was Howie on the phone with the Browns, that's a tough player to turn down. But I think you need to look at, like, there's a reason it matters when you're a good drafting team. And the Eagles have been a very, very good drafting team over the last 3 years. And this is viewed as a very good edge rushing class. It's viewed as a very good defensive tackle class. I really like Jalik Hunt and Nolan Smith. So while I definitely think if the price is right, you go and acquire Myles Garrett, the good thing about having a talented roster is you don't have to be desperate. And I think two first-round picks plus a massive contract, that is being desperate and spending more than you need to. So I would not be all in on him.
Yeah, Elliot, I'm with you on this. And I just think about the two teams we saw win the Super Bowl with the, you know, the Eagles teams the last 7 years, and neither had any sort of great edge rusher during the regular season. They didn't have a 10-sack guy, but they had waves of pass rushers, and they won. And I don't think it's worth to put all those resources there into Myles
and
Garrett.
I also think that I think the Eagles will have interest. I think they will be involved. It is important to note Howie has never really been a GM that invests in one edge rusher. Like, as much as he loves the lines, and he does, like, he uses high picks on them, all that's true. When's the last time he paid an edge rusher elite money? Like, Bryce Huff got a good contract for sure, but Bryce Huff was not, you know, a top 10 guy or anything in terms of pay. We're not talking, you know, 50, 60 million guaranteed. So while I think they'll be interested, it would be out of character to an extent for Howie to pay big money to an edge guy.
Yeah, and I go back, like, the big trades that they have made where they've traded big resources and then money, those guys were young, right? And you go back to A.J. Brown was 24. They tried for Jalen Ramsey. I remember that year, like 2019, he was 25. They traded for Jason Peters, who finally retired yesterday, and he was in his, you know, like mid-20s. When they do this, it's typically for a player that's 24, 25 years old, not 29 years old.
So I agree with that. The age is not the concern for me. I think it's something that matters, obviously, when you talk about resources and money. But I think you will get at least two more great years out of Myles Garrett. And so once you've decided to pay the price, like, Myles Garrett is worth two first-round picks if he is the Myles Garrett he's been his whole career for 2 years. I just think that they don't absolutely have to add that type of player. So where I would disagree with you is, like, the age is not as big of a concern for me as it sounds like it is for you.
All right, let's talk about Zach Bond, Elliot. Yesterday, Howie was asked about kind of rethinking positions, and he acknowledged that they do. They rethink positions. They obviously did it last year with running back. Jeff McClain reported today he's the priority. I saw you tweeted, you know, kind of being there for a day, how you tier what the likelihood of these guys coming back is. It feels like Bond is the priority, and now the question is how far are they willing to go for a linebacker and how high is his market going to go?
Yeah, I think they're willing to go pretty far. And I've said, you know, for weeks on this station that I think they're going to re-sign Zach Bond. And I think he's always been a priority for them. And the reason is because of all the free agents, he's the hardest to replace. Like, I think Milton Williams is the best free agent just in terms of his age, his position, and all that. But I think you can get by with Moro Ojomo and a first-round defensive tackle next to Jalen Carter. If you lose Zach Bond, what's the replacement there? Like, they have nobody on the roster that can do it, number one. But number two, then you have to go out and sign somebody. It's a bit of a risk there. You don't know how they'll adjust to the system. You don't know what they can do. And while Zach Bond is going to get paid, I don't think Zach Bond is going to get, like, a top five linebacker contract. I wouldn't be surprised, frankly, if he was legitimately top 10. When the numbers come out, he might be viewed as top 10, but I think he will be much closer to, like, 11 than he will be to 5. So I know they want to sign him. Zach Bond wants to be here. These next 3 days will be huge because Zach Bond and his agent will find out how many teams are interested and what those teams are willing to pay. But assuming there's nothing crazy, I think once they get back to Philadelphia, like, you could see this happen pretty quickly.
Elliot Shore Parks with us here live from the Combine in Indianapolis. Yesterday, Howie asked for patience from the fan base. Elliot, when you heard him say that, you know, kind of seeing the quotes again and look at them in print, what was your takeaway? Because when I saw it, my first thought was he's prepping us that, you know, 2 weeks from today when the new league year opens, it could be a lot of defections and maybe just one or so, you know, like maybe Bond comes back that day. But I think they're preparing us that they're going to lose some of these guys.
Yeah, I think they are too. Now, I'll believe Howie is patient when I see it. You know, every year I'm at the Combine, it feels like the message is, hey, you know, it could be a slow start to the season, resources. And then every year we see Howie go out and be ultra aggressive. So I'll believe it when I see it. But I do think the message has some truth to it, which is, you know, when we're doing our all-day Eagles show, the first day of free agency, like, it is not going to be, hey, they got Saquon. Hey, they got Bryce Huff. I think it could be, oh, man, you know, Josh Sweat signed here. Milt Williams signed here. Dallas Goedert potentially not with the team anymore. So I think initially you could see the roster take a step back. But we've seen Howie's ability through the draft, post-draft free agency, training camp acquisitions to keep making the team better.
Elliot Shore Parks with us from Indianapolis. Elliot, if you had to pick a surprise that could happen this offseason, it could be they acquire something at some position or they move off of someone that we're not talking about. Like, there's always a surprise. I remember it was either last year or 2 years ago, One, the show you're talking about, we do it live from, you know, McGurk's, wherever we're going to be for the Eagles show and the Birds Town Hall. I think a couple years ago it was they cut Slay and then they brought him back. Like, if there's a surprise that maybe we haven't talked much about with a change, give us a guess.
Yeah, so I don't know if this will qualify because I've been saying it, but I haven't heard anybody else really talk about it. I think Goddard is a name you have to keep an eye on. He has no more guaranteed money left in his contract. If he hits free agency, he would be one of the top free agents available. And I think over the next week or two, you'll see a resolution there, whether it's an extension, and I wouldn't completely rule that out, or it's Goddard is traded or, you know, potentially released. I don't think he'll be released, but that's a potential option if other teams out there don't, you know, think the Eagles are just going to cut him anyway. I just think with his contract and how they're paying everybody else, like, Goddard is a name I would keep an eye on for Eagles fans.
So let's play that out for a second. Let's say that happens and they move off him. Are you thinking this would be something like Grant Calcaterra gets a shot and they draft someone somewhere in the draft? Or, I mean, there's a couple of first-round tight ends it looks like this year. Is this a case where the Eagles could get aggressive to go get a tight end, you know, maybe move up in the draft?
I think they would draft a tight end high. I don't know enough about the tight end class yet to say if, like, there is projected to be one around 32. But I do think if they let Goddard go, you could see them take one in the first three rounds, something like that. And then Calcaterra, I don't think they view him as a Goddard replacement. But he could give you, like, I don't know, 40% of what Goddard did, and then you piece the other 60% together with a first-round rookie. Or E.J. Jenkins is a guy I know they like a lot. He had a good training camp. He got snaps as the year went on. So I think it would be piecing it together, but yeah, no question. It, you know, I know it's viewed as a good tight end draft, and that is advantageous if you're moving on from Goddard.
All right, Elliot, let's end with this. I meant to ask you something yesterday, and then I forgot. But we had the poll up.
Can't wait.
So, Elliot, you know, in the past, you've talked about things you think you could do, right? Like luck in a home run, that kind of stuff. Yeah. Do you think you could score on a tush push?
Oh, that, yeah, of course.
He said it was straight confidence.
I agree with this.
The better question is, could I do it on my first try, or would I need, like, multiple tries? If you gave me 10 tries on the tush push, I would absolutely score.
One attempt. What would you put the percentage like?
Fourth and one, game on the line. Elliot is carrying the ball in the tush push. Are the Eagles scoring?
Well, I am a big-time player, so I feel like when you add the fourth down thing, I feel like I
would. You got the money game. Yeah, money time.
Yeah. Red light.
Money time.
Right to the moment.
Yeah, I actually voted yes. I think you would, too. I think it's.
Of course. With this offensive line, like, no question about it. Yeah, I'll get it.
All right, Elliot. Enjoy Indianapolis, and we'll talk soon.
All right, sounds good. Talk to you.
There he goes. Elliot Shore Parks there. So he's pretty confident Zach Bond is coming back there. That Goddard guess was pretty interesting, Hugh. I asked him, you know, give us a surprise, something we're not talking about that could happen, and he thinks there's a chance that they move off of Goddard.
Yeah, I mean, been injured quite a bit. Contributed this year, but the injury things, not as consistent as you would like him to be. Mm-hmm. So, I can see that. I can definitely see that.
So, there are two first-round tight ends, it seems like people are talking about. One, the kid from Penn State, Warren. I think he'll probably be gone long before the Eagles pick. But there's another one from Michigan. That, you know, there's not one thing they need right now in the first round. I mean, there's certain things they might after free agency. Like, if Milton leaves, maybe it's defensive tackle. But
probably need an edge rusher.
They could need an edge rusher.
Just saying.
Well, I mean,
I know a good one available.
Well, they have Nolan Smith. He looks like a really good one.
Yeah.
I mean, well, Nolan Smith after that postseason.
We thought Nolan Smith was a bust 10 weeks ago.
But then look what he did.
I understand that. But it's not like, I'm just, anyway, can I?
Down on Nolan Smith after that?
No, I'm
playoffs.
Just, like,
wow.
Guys, there's something called regression to the mean.
And there's something called regression with older players.
Right, okay. Well, let me give you an example of regression. In 2022, after we went to the Super Bowl with that great pass rush that we had, we lost what? The one guy, Javon Hargrave. But we said, Hassan Reddick had 16 and a half sacks last year. He's the best player on the defensive line. No problem. And then what happened? That defensive line was cooked the next year. Sometimes you just, like, there is a likelihood. There's a likelihood that Nolan Smith just had a career year.
Do you know what else happened when Hassan Reddick got to 2023? He turned 29. Now he's 30.
And well, he went to the Jets. Well, but a big mistake.
But he also he wasn't as good his last year here, right, as he was the year before.
Yeah.
I mean,
y'all forgetting the biggest thing that happened.
No, I think Reddick's interesting. Well, the Desai thing. Reddick went from 12 and a half, 11, 16, and he's our guy. Since then, he's got 12 sacks in 2 years.
Okay, but what's more likely that? Miles Garrett fault. Like,
Miles is better.
He's a much better player than Hassan Reddick.
He reached that age.
Like, I think honestly, I think we're going way too far with the age thing.
What happened to Hugh?
Why I catch a stray?
Hugh had a great year at age 31.
Eighth year was his last good year, and then he stole money.
Okay,
after that. We know the story.
But what Elliot said was, if we get these next 2 years out of Myles Garrett, and that's all it is, 2 out of 3,
yeah,
that makes it worth it. Mm-hmm. It just does. And by the way, there was one thing that Elliot said that you agree with that I think is a total misconception.
What is that?
I think it's a mistake that we keep saying it. To try and put Howie Roseman in a box in that he doesn't typically do this, he doesn't typically do that. We say that about him all the time, and then he does the exact opposite of what he thinks that he does. Like, Howie didn't draft players. He was allergic to SEC players for years until he finally did it. He didn't pay good money for a running back until he finally did it. This might be the first year we see him pay a linebacker.
Sure.
Like, because he didn't do that, and now he might do it. So, like, this whole idea that Howie doesn't do this, so he's probably not going to do it, I just think it's wrong. Howie, I think the number one thing that Howie does is put the best possible team out there for the next season that he can.
But he also thinks about the future. I mean, he does.
Yeah, but I don't. So, like, but then here's the other part of it. I don't think that going in for Myles Garrett with 2 first-round picks is just totally throwing away the future. We're talking about 2 draft picks who, by the way,
passionate,
both have, at best, like a 50-50 shot of even panning out to be good players.
I recognize that, but they are the lifeblood of a team. I mean, that's what your first-round picks are.
Myles Garrett could be the lifeblood of your team.
For now. We'll see how long it lasts. He could be, yeah. He still could have a couple more great years left. He could. 215-592-9494. You're right, he has evolved. I would be surprised if he evolved into spending multiple first-round picks on a player about to be 30. That doesn't seem like it makes sense anywhere. For any team, it's a lot. I don't think it's good business. It might work for a team. Like, I'm not saying Myles Garrett's going to go to the Lions or Commanders or wherever he goes, or the Eagles, and not be good next year. I just don't think it's smart business.
I'm just saying, we say that about a lot of things, and then we find out it's wrong. Like, you could shake a tree and find a running back.
Yeah, but
I remember that, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you can.
Shout out to
they may not find Saquon.
Well, but that's the point. Like, Myles Garrett is a special player. He's not just your run-of-the-mill edge rusher.
Sure, and it took them to a different level. I just don't think they need it to win again. Tom in Middletown. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, Tom. What's up?
Listen, I cannot agree with Kyle more.
See, that's your first problem,
finally,
Tom.
I'm serious. I'm saying, listen, we have a window now. Okay, we've got our one championship under our belt. I think we got a 3-year window with this offense. Okay, now the defense, and I agree with building on the draft and so on, but you're talking about the best defensive player in the league.
For now, Tom. There's no guarantee in 2 years he's even one of the 10 best defensive players. This happens all the time. Like, we live in the... Before, I'll let you finish. We live in the moment. Von Miller was Myles Garrett. DeMarcus Ware was Myles Garrett. And then when they fell, they fell. Like, the idea that Myles Garrett's going to be this guy 2 years from now, maybe... But I would argue probably not.
Okay, well, listen, back in the day, I mean, when guys like, and Hugh, I'm sorry, when guys like Hugh fell off at 30 and stuff like that, the training wasn't the same way, the medical staff wasn't the same way.
What do you mean the back in the day? Von Miller was just this.
Well, Hugh played 20 years ago.
We just did it with Von Miller. He just was the best guy, and then he fell off.
Listen, Myles Garrett just left this season the best player in the NFL, best defensive player in the NFL. Why do you think all of a sudden he's going to fall off a cliff?
Tom, there have been 11 players in the history of the league, like the best of the best of the best at edge rusher, right? And 8 of them, when they got to around this age, the 8th year in the league,
8 of them things,
they fell off.
There's
something. It can't be a coincidence that Deacon Jones fell off and Von Miller fell off. Like, I'm not talking about good players. I'm talking about the best. Why would Myles Garrett be different? Because we want him to?
No. Let me tell you why Myles Garrett is different. Myles Garrett was a number one draft pick.
So was Von Miller.
Okay. He's already made his money. He wants to win. He's like Saquon. Saquon wanted to come to the Eagles to win.
You guys are dreaming.
I just love Saquon the way the story has evolved and changed.
We're dreaming on this one.
Miles wants to come here to win a Super Bowl. He wants to add to his legacy. When he goes in that Hall of Fame, he wants to know he has a Super Bowl.
I agree with you. But guess what? You think Father Time shuts down because Myles Garrett's got it in his mind he wants to win?
Yeah, but and listen, the 2 first-round draft picks you're talking about, they're basically second-round draft picks.
They are? How you figure? It's 32 teams in the NFL. We're drafting 32nd.
Okay, we're 32nd. Okay, what's the next one? First one and a second round.
33rd. Yeah, yeah. I get what he's saying. It's closer to a second round pick than it is a high first.
It also has value because teams would trade up for that pick. The last pick in the first round has value.
Do you not trust Howie to maneuver those second round picks?
Well, it sounds like this is bad faith in Howie. No, you guys don't trust Howie to put together a team with different players. You need the shiny toy.
No, we're trusting him more because we're putting more stock in the later picks.
This man is amazing.
To amaze
and listen, how the story meanders
and changes every time.
I think you're wrong. Like, you're thinking, because if you don't trust Howie, then you want him to have the best possible draft picks he can get. If you trust him, then you say he can make it work even with the later draft picks. I think you guys are dead wrong.
We only trust Howie when it's convenient for us to trust
him. I trust him all the time. You guys are the ones wavering, saying we need first round picks. I don't think so.
But if you have the opportunity to get the best player at his position, at his current position, like why wouldn't you at least?
Because, Tom, you know why?
How much is it going to cost me, Tom? How much are you willing to pay for Miles Garrett? I know you're willing to give the first two picks. I'm not willing to do that. That's it. I would love to have him here, but at a reasonable price.
Okay, but what's a reasonable price?
Not for two first round draft picks.
Late first round draft picks.
We're basically saying that we're winning the Super Bowl. See, this is the thing that I'm trying to get y'all to realize. You're talking about two late draft picks. So you're basically telling me that Miles Garrett guarantees us to go to the Super Bowl next year. That's what you're saying, correct? What do you mean too late first round draft picks?
You're taking a big leap by saying we're guaranteeing you a Super Bowl. Nobody's saying that. The likelihood increases.
You know what's funny? I'm going to tell both of y'all this story that I heard from somebody close to me earlier this year. We were talking about the Philadelphia Eagles. I said, what do you think the team's going to be this year? They said, we're going to be really, really good or really, really bad. This is somebody that was close to the organization because you just don't know. For you to sit there and say that we're going to give away two late-round picks, you're basically saying that we're going to be deep in the playoffs if we get Miles Garrett, correct?
Why wouldn't we assume that?
People
that I know close to the organization didn't know what the season was going to be this year. Yeah. That's why I told the story.
I think there's also, and Tom, we appreciate it. We're also taking a lever away that Howie's good at. If you lose the pick, not only is it a player, like think about how we got Jalen Carter. Someone wanted their first-round pick 1 year, and Howie said, all right, I'll give it to you. Give me your pick another year down the line. And that eventually became Jalen Carter. Like, why this year?
We forgot how we got here.
We did the 32nd pick this year. Is it going to become a superstar? I have no idea.
Probably not. Not as good as Miles Garrett.
But guess what? There also could be a scenario where, I don't know, I mean, we haven't dove into the draft enough for me to know, but maybe Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders falls. And there's a team that says, you know what? I think he's the guy.
And we might move up to get him, try to move up.
We'll give you my 2027 first-round pick for the last pick in the draft this year, or the first round this year. And Howie says, all right. And that team goes belly up. And 2 years from now, we get the next version of Jalen Carter. I don't know what position it is. And that helps us win another Super Bowl down the line. Is Howie going to hit the pick? You're taking a lever away for something I don't think is necessary.
So, okay. Because, and you brought up the fact that he's turning 30. Likely to drop off, right? Do you think the Green Bay Packers regretted bringing in Reggie White when he was age 32?
No, I don't.
By the way, 37 years old with a 16 sack season.
Yeah, Reggie was different.
Reggie was a grown ass.
Well, but okay, we saw Robert Quinn at age 31 have an 18 and a half sack season.
One man.
Okay, but I'm taking, so that's at age 31. So if you tell me 2 years from now, Miles Garrett can get 18 and a half sacks, thank you, deal worth it.
Green Bay was one player away.
They were desperate.
From going to the Super Bowl.
Because they couldn't beat Dallas.
Okay, then what are we?
No, we're not one player.
They just won.
Right, but we're going to lose players.
Kyle.
Math.
Listen, and I get your passion.
We can go back.
Kyle. We have a chance to go back without Miles Garrett.
But not as good of one.
Well, they are the favorite.
Cool. But we'll be far and away a favorite if we get Garrett. No, it's not. It's been the same the whole time.
You know I got bad knees. I can't jump around when the line is moving moving.
The line has been the exact same the whole time.
Okay,
we have a better chance of winning the Super Bowl with Miles Garrett than without
him.
That's simple.
Who's the favorite to win the Super Bowl right now?
The Eagles.
It's the Eagles.
The Eagles. Will the Eagles be a bigger favorite now or with Miles Garrett to win the Super Bowl? No, I answered yours. What is it?
Kyle.
They
would become a slightly bigger favorite.
I understand slightly. What you're saying. I get what you're saying. And to answer your question, Kyle, because this is what we do, we respect one another on this station and we answer questions. We would be even more of a favorite. But my point is this. If I already am in a position, and say for instance, I'm going to do it like this. If I had a drag car, and I already have I have a quarter mile drag car that's already doing low numbers in the quarter mile. Why am I gonna go? And I'm predicted to be the best car on the strip.
But your drag car is about to lose some parts.
No, but why am I gonna go and spend $400,000 on a new motor when the motor that I got is already working? And all I got to do is do a few tweaking. Do a little bit of tweaking, and I'm still right there.
But you're about to lose parts, and you can give yourself a better chance to win the race if you add the best possible part.
But I think the point that we're all missing is this. We have had success with the young players that we have, and we went to the Super Bowl. That's what got us here. Keep it going.
No, yeah, but it's rare. You can't count on that every year.
215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. Should the Eagles be all in for Myles Garrett? I don't believe so. Hugh likes the player, but doesn't want to spend.
I don't want to spend that much money.
We all love the player. He's a great player.
Secretly, I think Hugh is all in.
No, I don't want to.
Yeah, but you know Hugh with price, though. With
there's
price
that price.
The frugality is overtaking the want for a great pass.
No question. Where do you come down? 215-592-9494. Your phone calls. And we'll check it with the Phillies. A little Clearwater check-in after break. Something's got on my mind about this lineup they're putting out there today. And I just wonder what's going on here. Is this just a thing or is it a big thing? We'll hit that next. Your calls. Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilley, you guys with us. 215.
It's only Wednesday, dog.
592-9494. It does feel like
a Friday.
A little Friday?
It feels like a Friday. Well, it feels like a Friday because it usually gets.
Is it because I'm yelling?
It gets chippy on Friday.
It does. Well, sometimes Thursday's chippy, and then Friday we have a little more laughs and giggles on a tri-day Friday.
Yeah, you might be right.
I don't know what day it is, but I know this. I'm not trading two first-round picks for Myles Garrett. No way, no how. Plus the contract. I love we had a caller earlier who was like, well, he's got 2 years left. He's cool with the deal. No, he's not. Players of his ilk don't play for no guaranteed money. So, and that's fine. Like he's earned the right to ask for a longer-term deal. But Hugh, you said this earlier, wherever he goes, and maybe it's here. I mean, I don't rule anything past Howie. He's going to get a new contract when he goes somewhere. He's not just going to hang out and play for no guarantee.
He's about to get paid.
Of course he is. And the market gets reset, so he'll probably make, I don't know, close to $40 million a year to
and
play.
The money goes, yeah, you say it goes up. It goes up this year. Oh.
Well, we were all happy when he paid money for Bryce Huff, like investing in the defensive line.
Yeah, but, you know.
Yeah, no, I understand how bad of a player Bryce Huff is, but I don't expect anywhere close to that out of Myles Garrett.
All right, so before we go back to the phone lines here, let's talk through. Now, Kyle's all in. We're not. What we'd be willing to give up.
Firstborn.
See that?
Good googly.
Wow.
Did you discuss that with your significant other?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, it's out there now. I mean, I put my name on the line for Juan Soto. I mean, when you really want something, you put stuff out there.
Put something on it.
Uh-huh. Hugh, what's the most you'd be willing to give up?
I'll give you a first-round draft pick. One.
I'd like that. I'd give you one this year.
I give you the
Browns
one this
year. If the Browns want the 32nd pick in the draft,
yeah.
I'd give it to them.
Hold on one damn second. So now we're really talking about the difference between one late round draft pick. One late draft pick in the first round. And that's the backbreaker for you.
Yeah. See, this is what happened.
I hate you guys.
No, see, this is what happened. When we had this conversation.
Hard line.
When we had this conversation, and I did my damnedest to try to frame it for y'all the way that you would understand it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a limit to how far. Yeah, no, because you were all in. You didn't hear anything that I said.
I blacked out.
Yes, because all you heard me say was, no, I don't want him. I said, I would love to have him. I just don't want to give up two first-round draft picks. Mm-hmm. That's what I said.
But I didn't know it was like just.
Wait a minute.
I didn't know the difference was one of the picks.
Because you didn't listen to what I was saying.
Did you say in your open that you would only do one?
I said that it was too rich for my blood.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I didn't know how far
so
gone it was.
So now you feel bad for yelling at me. I hear it in your voice. You kind of feel bad.
We do this on the show. Hugh's pointing out. We move the line however we want.
That's what I'm saying. So the line has moved all day.
Kyle framed what I said as, so just one pick is too much. The way I frame it is, I'm not paying double what I'm willing to pay. I'm willing to pay one first round pick. You want double what I'm willing to pay.
It's not really double though, because hold on. Because the contract's there anyway.
One, two times.
So this is two versus three. No, because you're excluding the fact that the contract's there regardless. So it's contract and one pick or contract and two picks. That's not doubling. You're not doubling the money.
I'm doubling what I'm giving them.
No, you're really it's multiplying by a half, basically.
This is why we don't
because it's one in the contract versus two in the contract.
That's semantics.
That's three total.
But the contract is part of it either way.
That's my point, is that it's not doubling it if you're giving them the contract regardless.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. We know.
I just out-math you guys.
I don't think you did, but
Be proud of yourself, Kyle. It was a low bar.
It
actually was. Ken is up. What's up, Ken?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
What's going on?
You know, I'm okay with Kyle Peacock about the one time he's been right in the history of the show. Because in a few weeks, he's going to have to acknowledge on air that he will never question my wisdom again.
Well, I'm a football guy, Ken.
I'll give him his little moment in the sun. So am I, Kyle. But Kyle could not be more wrong on every level about and it's not about do you want, like, anybody in their right mind, if the question is just, would you like to have Myles Garrett on your team or not? Anybody in their right mind is going to say, sure. So, you know, if Andrew Berry decides for some reason that he just wants to get himself fired and maybe killed in Cleveland, he's just going to cut Myles Garrett. And then Myles Garrett's going to decide he wants to come here and play for free. Then, yeah, I absolutely want Myles Garrett. But I am not trading first-round picks. I've been telling you guys for a couple of years now that – With the contracts you've got on offense, with the cap hits that are getting ready to come down, especially Jalen Hurts, because they have devoted contracts, especially on the offensive side of the ball. The way the Eagles are going to continue to be good and continue to be contenders is by getting younger, cheaper, more athletic on defense. It's what they've been doing for the last 2 years. That's what they need to continue to do. So everybody around here focuses on the wrong things. We've had this conversation before. People focus on sacks. Sacks are what get individual players paid. Hugh knows that better than anybody else in this conversation. Sacks are the numbers that get individual players played. Hassan Reddick wasn't chasing sacks the entire second half of the season in 2023 because he was trying to win football games for the Eagles. He was chasing sacks because he was trying to get paid. Pressure is what makes makes offenses have to change what they're doing.
Miles gets those too, by the way. He's not just a sacks guy.
Let me finish, Kyle, before you interrupt. Because you're just wrong anyway. The Eagles had 38 sacks this year and won the Super Bowl. That's a magic number. They had 38 sacks when they won the Super Bowl in 2017, too. The defense is a collective, and to trade away first-round picks. So when we say, well, let's give up two first-round picks, okay, let's go through the last 2 years of first-round picks for the Philadelphia Eagles. Quinyon Mitchell, Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith. Who did I miss?
Jordan Davis. Did he miss Jordan? Did he get him?
No.
He didn't.
It sounds like we're due to miss one.
What two of those guys do you want to trade for Myles Garrett? So not only does Myles Garrett adding six sacks, because that's what we're talking about. You bring in Myles Garrett here and you trade all kinds of draft capital for him, he's going to give you six more sacks.
No,
okay?
that's wrong.
Well, no,
that's a terrible diminishment of what Myles Garrett brings to your defense.
Hold on. But last year their top edge rusher had eight. So I think that's where the numbers come.
No, I get, but he's saying
they could create eight sacks.
To say that just bringing Myles Garrett is only an addition of six sacks to your defense is just not like who Myles Garrett is. Myles Garrett is a game-changing defensive player. He's not just six sacks.
They just found a way as a collective, to use Ken's word, to sack the best quarterback in the league six times in the Super Bowl. So is it worth the cost to add this guy?
To what Ken just said, it's not just sacks that you want, right? The pressures matter. He's also the best edge defender in the NFL. Like, he's Myles Garrett. He's not just a six sacks added to your defense. What are we talking about?
I also want good defense, okay? So we don't want to be the Kansas City Chiefs around here because we hate the Kansas City Chiefs. I get that. And I am not saying that Myles Garrett's not a great player. I have, for a long time, said that there was an argument that Myles Garrett might be the best player in the league, not just the best defensive player in the league.
But he's just six sacks.
But the point is that
the Kansas City Chiefs, when they won the first Super Bowl in what became their chase for a three-peat, they did that. They went out at the beginning of the season. They had almost an entirely rookie secondary. And everybody's like, wow, rookie secondary, how are they going to compete? Well, the Eagles just won a Super Bowl with two rookie corners in the secondary. So younger, faster, more athletic, and cheaper on defense, you can't do that by trading away draft capital in any year. You just can't do it that way. And
yeah,
I think what you said in the beginning, Hugh's been on this for a while. It's actually, I think this was the
premise. It got lost in translation.
Can we appreciate it? But I think the Eagles have made their bed paying offensive players.
Yes.
Right. So the reality moving forward, and if you look at their cap 2 years from now, and I know how we can restructure things, but in general, they have $155 million today committed to the offensive players already.
They allocated all their resources on the offensive side of the ball.
That's 2 years from now. And we'll see how those guys age and play, but they're younger and they'll probably be together a while. And they haven't paid Juergens yet. They're going to add to that. Hugh, the only way this works is if they have young guys on defense that are cheaper. And I think as time goes on, they'll probably have to pick out one or two they can pay.
That they can pay.
And I would think Jalen Carter is going to be a lock for that. Maybe Nolan, if he keeps going. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's Quinyon. I don't know if you can pay Garrett and Carter and keep all the offensive guys.
That's the thing that I think people are failing to realize. Like, when I said earlier today, I said I would love to have him here. And I even used an analogy about the car that I want, a 70 Chevelle. But I'm not willing to pay what's being asked for the one that I like because I think it's just too much. It's too much money. And the reason why I say that is because we've had a lot of success with these young draft picks that we've picked, and they've played extremely well here. So when you tell me, okay, I can get Myles Garrett, okay, how much? I got to give up two first-round draft picks for him, correct? And then on top of that, I got to give him $30 million a year.
But you were willing to pay him if it was just one draft pick.
Well,
so is it the money that's really the problem, or is it the late round pick?
It's the money and it's the picks. It's the many picks. One thing Cleveland's going to do, because they've made it clear that they don't want to give him up at all, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to ask for the moon and the stars.
Well, so
and let me tell you what else is going to happen, Kyle. Let me tell you what's going to happen before you get the flow right back to you. When they do decide that they're going to let him go, teams are gonna go bananas and try to get him, and they're gonna overprice him.
Well, so maybe
definitely.
This I could be wrong about, but there's two big things here that loses leverage for the Browns. Myles Garrett asked out; he doesn't want to come back. That hurts them. Two, he said he specifically wants to go to a contender. That now limits the options of teams they can trade him to.
Sure. What if he goes to Kansas City?
But all you need is two or three teams.
That's another contender. But here's my point is, and we're talking about two first-round picks today for the sake of the discussion. I'm not 100% sure that that's going to be what it costs. It could be a first and a third and another and a player or something.
But here's the thing, Kyle, and this is where I come in at. And that's why I'm like, because whenever they decide to figure out what they're going to do with Myles Garrett, bid is going to be hot and heavy. When you talk about, okay, we talk about draft capital and then monetary value, we're not in the same stratosphere as the Commodores.
They have more capital.
Oh, yeah. They got more bread than we got.
Well, because they have a quarterback on a rookie deal.
Yes.
They're in a different.
And they are structured right now, the way that they're structured, and I'm talking about structure.
Mm-hmm.
They can afford to pay Myles Garrett
and
not hurt their team.
They remind me of where the Eagles were when they traded a first and a third for AJ.
And the position, because here's the thing, Kyle. We about to get hit with $35 million with Jalen Hurts alone. And we got these receivers that they're going to – we're positioned better because we've hit more – on the younger guys that we have. And that's I'm trying to stay with that model.
We can hit more young guys and still have Myles Garrett. I mean, by the way, could get Jalen Hurts the Mahomes contract and save yourself a little bit of money.
Extend that contract a little bit? That's a possibility. All right, 215-592-9494.
What's going on?
There is a lot going on here. All right, let's grab a call here. And then
I like how Kyle calmed down, though, when he figured out where we could. Yeah. Lost the translation.
Something else is going on in Clearwater. We need to address in a second. You know what? For a four-hour show, we all black out at some point. You hope no one notices. Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Who's your call? What's up?
What's up? Man? You want Garrett, don't you?
I love this topic today, man, and I'm a Kyle on this. I want Myles Garrett, and I got a couple key points, man. And am I straight to wait? I heard Elliot say earlier that we have a lot of death. Well, we're losing death with Sweat and Milton Williams, aren't we?
Yes, very likely to. Yep.
Okay, and also, it's not. I heard Kyle say this also. It's not always a hit on these draft picks either. These second round, we got 32nd pick. It's not guaranteed that those are going to be a hit. That we're picking for.
It's not a guarantee.
They're not guaranteed on that.
Well, there's not, but it's not a guarantee it's a miss either.
True, but we could say 50-50 on that.
Yeah.
But my thing, the biggest reason is here, man, I heard about the Washington Commanders.
Yeah.
Okay, what we play Cleveland about every 2 years?
Every three or four, yeah.
I don't want to see Myles Garrett twice a year or maybe three times a year. Are you kidding me?
What you worried about that for, man?
There's a chance that he could wreck any of those games. Like, I know our offensive line usually do a good job on him, but they're facing him every 2 years. You're going to be facing this guy and the Commanders, him with Jayden Daniels, and he's going to uplift that team like never before. I don't want to see Myles Garrett twice a year. I'd rather have him over here. I'd rather Jalen restructure your contract, whatever you got to do, how he makes some moves. But my thing is, I like the young guys we have now, but him with our back end's already intact with our cornerbacks and our linebackers. All we got to do is work on the offensive line right now. And if we bring Myles Garrett over here, how are you going to double team? Because my thing is, Carter, he got Sweat and Milton Williams paid. Am I right?
Yes.
You're not wrong with that.
Yeah. No, certainly
got
helps.
Them paid. So we know, like, whoever you bring over here, Carter's going to get double teamed. And if you have him in, him with Garrett, like, that's a recipe for disaster for any offensive line and any quarterback in the NFL. So I want him over here if we can get him, but I don't want him in Washington at all. I don't want him in Washington.
Well, I would say this. Yeah, the Washington thing, Terrence, it certainly adds a monkey wrench to this. I mean, because, you know, you look at the future of the NFC, and you could make a good case that the team that's the biggest threat to the Eagles is going to...
It's the Commodores.
Yeah, and if they get him, it certainly
enhances
it.
Oh, they're about to push for him.
Yeah, I agree with you.
All right. And they're going to give him a ton of bread.
Before we go any further, a little quick Clearwater check-in. Philly's going to play a game today at 1 o'clock. And, Hugh, a couple days ago, we wondered, were we seeing the...
The future of the lineup.
Yeah, the opening day lineup, because it looked like what they had talked about a little bit, which included Trey Turner hitting first. But when we first talked about the lineup and a potential change... The reasoning or thought was, all right, Turner 1, Harper 2, Bohm 3, Schwarber 4, right? Separate the lefties and put Schwarber in a run producer position, get Trey at the top. But the whole thing worked if Bryce Harper hit 2. But yet on Monday when they put the lineup out, they got rained out. And now again today, they got Bryce Harper in the number 3 spot in the order. And Hugh, my antenna's up on this because I've heard Rob Thompson for 3 years now talk about lineup construction. He doesn't think it's a good idea to put the two lefties back-to-back. Mm-hmm. He has said this before, yet they're doing it. And Hugh, when they got to spring training, Bryce Harper used the phrase, I'm a three hitter. And I'm starting to wonder if he's still hitting 3 because he wants to hit.
He'd be strong-arming.
I don't like that.
You like the strong arm?
I don't know if it's happening, but... I don't like the idea that he'd be hitting in a spot that's not optimal because it makes him feel good. Like, what are we doing here?
Well, I mean, Bryce Harper has been making, you know, moves like this for a while. I mean, he is the GM, you know, and he has a lot of input. Mm. So, I mean, I guess the Phillies right now, because it's spring training, that I would say they're going to let them do what they want to do until the rubber meets the road. You know, because this is, I think they're in the experimental phase right now.
Totally. And look, today doesn't matter, right? They're just they're working through things. It's spring training. I understand that. I'm just saying, if the lineup comes out on opening day and it looks like this, Turner, Schwarber, Harper, Bohm, I'm going to push back because it doesn't make sense. And I know Rob Thompson would tell me he doesn't make sense. Like deep down, like conceptually, it doesn't make sense. The only thing I can envision is Bryce wants a bat third. That's weird to me. Kyle, I don't like that.
No. And remember when we put Jalen Hurts on Wentz watch and we likened it to the tornado? It's like watch, warning, and then you're in the tornado. Harper right now, I hate to say this, he's on me guy watch.
Oh, no. You don't want to be there.
Me guy.
Well, if he strong arms his way to batting third, even though the lineup is shifting where it doesn't make sense, that's me
guy. It's just watch for now.
That's right. We don't know. We're kind of looking at the lineup to try to understand what it looks like for today.
Yeah. Like it's just a whisper of a what, like with Jalen, though.
Wentz watch. Yeah. watch.
glad we got to move off that, because those were troubling forecasts. I mean,
they were. I'm glad we took them off a watch. We never got the warning. We just
watch.
On watch. Yep.
And sometimes the people need to know what the weather watch
is. That's what we're at for now.
That's what we're here for. So, yeah, so we got Harper on that. But today they're going Turner, Schwarber, Harper, 1-2-3. Again, I wish they would just go back to what it was, put Schwarber back at the top. The whole thing, I think, works that way. But they're experimenting with it. Today, Schwarber is 2, Turner 1, Harper 3. I'm not in love with it. If the only reasoning for it is Bryce wants to be the 3 hitter, that logic doesn't fly to me. We got to put the lineup together.
No, and it's still early.
It is. It is. But
he got the Fanatic tattoo, so.
So I'm supposed to change my position because
I'm just putting it out there.
Okay. Well, he put it out there, so.
Yeah, he did. He's been doing a lot on the social media, though. You got the
TikTok.
What did he do? The almond drink or whatever.
He did some lattes
with raw milk.
Raw milk.
And then showed up sick.
Yeah, those dots could connect.
He's a nasty dude.
He made a cheesesteak with his own. He made his own hoagie roll and made a cheesesteak on Super Bowl Sunday. I watched a lot of these. he was making lattes. I forget what else he made. He made his own bread. I mean,
he's been doing his own thing on TikTok.
Yeah, it seems to me like he was bored as the winter was going on and he needed to get back to baseball. All right, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. All right, coming up, 1 o'clock hour here. We'll get your calls up. I know a lot of people want to talk about the Myles Garrett situation. Are you all in? Should the Eagles be all in? Your phone calls. We'll get to another answer from Howie yesterday and what I think it means in relation to Myles Garrett. Maybe that whole age thing is a big part of this. 215-592-9494. Midday show. We got a lot to talk about in this Garrett situation. A lot of people. I actually haven't checked the Twitter poll. I'm going to do that really quick right now. I haven't looked today to see where people are in terms of the all-in.
I would probably say about 78% Myles Garrett.
Well, I think it's the opposite.
You're going to be surprised.
Yeah.
61%.
And I think it's the all-in part.
Because all-in means above and beyond, right? Like what you think. One thing that Ken brought up there is we'd all want him. Like, no one has called today and said he's kind of overrated, right? I think we all realize he's an outstanding player.
Yeah, people are just cowardly when it comes to taking risks.
People just want to build the best possible
and
team.
And there it goes, gets personal.
Always build the best possible team.
The best possible team, more than likely, includes Myles
for the longest possible time.
You can do that anyway.
Well, it's a little bit more challenging. All right, 215-592-9494, Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.